Band students at Watertown High School have been practicing a piece for months, but now the district's board may ban the piece because its composer dedicated the work to a transgender activist. It's Thursday, May 7th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools says the district will try to boost enrollment by attracting local students away from private schools. And we'll hear about efforts to learn the secrets of the ancient canoes found in Lake Mendota. Stay with us.
Support for WPR comes from the state of Wisconsin, business sponsors, and tens of thousands of members who contribute. Thank you to everyone who makes WPR possible, on air, on the app, and at WPR.org.
A Wisconsin school board is considering pulling a piece of music from a high school spring band concert because of its ties to LGBTQ+ history. Corrine Hess has more.
The Watertown Wind Symphony is scheduled to perform the instrumental piece A Mother of a Revolution on May 18th, but some school board members say the music is not appropriate for students. That's because its composer dedicated the work to a transgender activist. The full school board will decide next week, 6 days before the concert. Band teacher Reed Ledoux told parents about his plans to perform the music in October. Students have been practicing it for months. Board member Christina DeGrave says the history that inspired the piece is not appropriate for a concert.
No different than I can't go to a Christmas concert and hear words about Jesus Christ anymore because we have to be catering to all religions. When it comes to music, it should be uplifting. It should be celebratory.
When parents were told about the performance in October, only one family objected. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Federal and state officials are easing requirements for dairy farms to test for avian flu. Since 2024, lactating dairy cows moving between states have needed a negative test for the virus. But starting this month, the requirement will not apply to farms in Wisconsin and 41 other states considered unaffected under a federal avian flu surveillance program. Wisconsin State Veterinarian Darlene Conkle says the states asked the U.S. Department of Agriculture to ease those requirements.
We've got lots of surveillance numbers and good amounts of testing and not a lot of additional cases over the past months.
Conkle says the change will make it easier for farms to buy and sell cattle and save federal dollars because the USDA has been covering the cost of testing. Wisconsin officials also lifted an order requiring testing for cows moving to fairs and exhibitions within the state. The head of the company that owns Wisconsin's largest utility said it's discussing the potential for more data centers with very large customers. As Danielle Kading reports, the president and CEO of WEC Energy Group made the comments in an earnings call this week.
The company owns We Energies, the state's largest utility. WEC Energy Group President and CEO Scott Lauber says he's optimistic about new projects in Wisconsin after the Public Service Commission approved special rates for data center scale customers in We Energies service territory. Lauber says he hopes to know more by this fall.
Hopefully we'll have another announcement to make on that third quarter call.
Even without new large customers, the company is planning for a 3.9 gigawatt increase in energy demand over the next 5 years due to data centers being built by Microsoft and Vantage data centers. One analysis found that's enough to power 4 million homes. Environmental advocates worry We Energies will rely on fossil fuel plants to meet growing energy demand. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Virginia-based political action committee is suing to overturn a new Wisconsin law mandating that only Wisconsin residents can collect signatures to get state and local candidates on the ballot. Americans for Citizen Voting PAC claims the law violates the U.S. Constitution's free speech protections. During a public hearing last year on the residency requirement, Republican State Representative Jim Piewarczyk pointed to the failed recall effort against Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. He said paid signature collectors from outside Wisconsin harassed residents and forged documents.
This loophole allows individuals with no ties to our state to participate in a process that should be driven by the people of Wisconsin.
Americans for Citizen Voting PAC is being represented in the case by the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. They filed their lawsuit about a month after the law took effect. Their case was moved to federal court this week. The superintendent of Milwaukee Public Schools says the district will try to boost enrollment numbers by attracting local students away from private schools. Earlier this year, auditors found the Milwaukee district faces a $46 million deficit. The district has already cut nearly 300 positions and approved a plan that would close some facilities. A new $1.6 billion budget proposal includes more staffing cuts. Superintendent Brenda Caselius told WPR's Wisconsin Today that the district will try to increase its enrollment in the future by targeting local students who are not enrolled there.
The fortunate thing for Milwaukee is that we have 60,000 students who are choosing other schools other than Milwaukee Public Schools. So that gives us at least some students in which to compete.
Officials will present their budget proposal to the school board today. The board is expected to vote on it later this month. The Milwaukee Bucks have introduced their new head coach. Evan Casey has the details.
Taylor Jenkins was an assistant coach for the Bucks during the 2018-2019 season. He now takes over after Doc Rivers stepped down from his role in April. The Bucks missed the playoffs for the first time since the 2015-2016 season this year. Jenkins says he'll help the club get back to their winning ways.
I'm beyond excited to dive in with this group and start building a championship caliber culture that will be defined by how we work and how we live together.
12-year-old Bucks fan Aaron Sanchez came to the introductory press conference with his dad.
I just wanted to see what he's going to change about the Bucks, see if they can bring him to another finals again.
The 2026-2027 Bucks season begins this fall. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, researchers are working to uncover the history behind the ancient canoes discovered in Madison's Lake Mendota. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep. Over the years, my wife and I have supported several different public radio stations with which we have a connection, like in my hometown in Indianapolis. We know how important listener support is to the quality news and conversations and entertainment that we value on public radio. A gift of $10 or $20 per month goes a long way to providing meaningful programming to this community. Become a sustainer of your station, Wisconsin Public Radio, with your monthly gift at WPR.org.
And finally, for thousands of years, a cluster of wooden canoes has lain dormant under Madison's Lake Mendota. Now, thanks to the work of Wisconsin scientists, those ancient vessels are starting to reveal their secrets. WPR's Sarah Lear reports.
The USDA's Forest Products Lab is a big, brutalist building in an industrial area of Madison. That's where I meet Michael Wyman, where he works inside a small room stuffed with reference books and lab equipment.
Okay. So, where shall we start?
Wyman is a botanist by trade. He specializes in the anatomy, identification, and properties of tropical woods. He's into this work, and he has been for a long time.
When I was in kindergarten, my favorite toys were wood blocks. 7 decades later, what am I doing? I'm playing with wood blocks.
For the past several years, Wyman has had a special assignment. He's been helping archaeologists identify samples from ancient canoes. That includes 16 boats, all of which were discovered from the same section of Madison's Lake Mendota. And this was no easy task.
It's a hard problem to get a decent sample because Lake Mendota is not clear.
Researchers believe the canoes were made during a period of drought, when Lake Mendota was shallower than it is today. One theory is that indigenous people stashed their boats over the winter by sticking them in the side of the lake bed. After being buried underwater in sediment, they were lost to history. That's until maritime archaeologist Tamara Thompson glimpsed what turned out to be part of a 1,200-year-old canoe while out diving in 2021. Since then, Thompson has returned to the same section of the lake and found 15 more ancient canoes, some of which are in pieces. It's a mission that she holds sacred.
We also hear from our tribal partners that the canoes are showing themselves because they want their stories to be told.
One of the boats in the cache is more than 5,000 years old, making it one of the oldest canoes ever discovered in North America. Bill Quackenbush, the historical preservation officer for the Ho-Chunk Nation, says the canoes tell a story about the continued presence of Native peoples.
Time and time again, we would build dugout canoes and bring ourselves back over here, or else I wouldn't even be here.
The canoes still have more stories to tell, and Wyman and other experts are working to fill in the missing pieces. Typically, archaeologists send Wyman a wooden sliver from one of the vessels. A different laboratory checks the boat's age with radiocarbon dating. Wyman's job is to figure out what type of tree the canoe is made from. He does that by sectioning the wood with a razor blade and looking for patterns under a microscope.
In this case, the vessels are two sizes, and they're in like lines, wavy lines that the vessels are joined. And that's a very distinctive feature for elm.
Elm is a difficult wood to work with, even with modern tools, says Cecil Schrader, a University of Wisconsin anthropologist who's been studying the canoes. Lake Mendota's ancient canoes are made from other species too, like oak, ash, basswood, and cottonwood. For millennia, Schrader says indigenous people made dugout canoes by knocking down trees and then hollowing them out with fire, shells, and stone tools.
Indigenous peoples were using the types of trees that were readily available.
Schrader says those species tell a story about how the climate in south-central Wisconsin has changed. For Wyman, identifying that species can take anywhere from 5 minutes to 3 days. It can be tedious, but he likes this work.
That's what makes it fun. It's a big puzzle, and once you get all the information, it starts making sense.
This spring, Thompson will try to fill in more pieces of that puzzle. She'll follow a tip left by the State Historical Society director more than a century ago. In 1909, he wrote about a cluster of canoes believed to be buried in Madison's Lake Wingra, just south of the lake where Thompson discovered the other canoes. Thompson plans to go diving in Wingra later this month. She hopes the water will be clear enough to reveal even more ancient secrets. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And of course, a quick check of your forecast before letting you go for the day. Still pretty cold today, with high temperatures only getting into the 50s across the state. And it is possible we'll see some light rain in southern Wisconsin later on. Rain clears up tonight, but it's going to be a cold one once again, with lows down into the 20s and 30s. Just a bit warmer for tomorrow. And that'll do it for this Thursday. Thank you so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Don't forget, those ratings and reviews are really important to us. I love hearing your feedback. It's just me all alone here in the studio. So let me know what you like about the show, and if there's something you think we could be doing better, let us know. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.